following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Those words were written by the prophet Jeremiah during a period of 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Pretty much where we're at in our Sunday school lessons right now. The people of God, the children of God, the Israelites had rebelled and disobeyed. But the Lord held true to his promise, even during that time. Promises that were made hundreds of years prior to that. God said, all you got to do is seek me with your whole heart. I'm still here. I still want to talk to you. I never, ever change. And so maybe that's where you're at in your life tonight, this morning, I mean. Maybe it's been a while since you've really heard the Lord speak to your heart in that way that you are familiar with or have been familiar with in the past. Maybe you just haven't discerned the Lord's voice in your life lately. Hopefully what we've been going through over the past couple of years, all the sermons about listening to God, applying God's word to your life, hopefully those have trained you and helped you and prepared you and conditioned you to put yourself in a position to hear God's voice like never before. Or maybe you're here today and you say, you know, Brother Tracy, I've never had God speak to me in a way that I could say he was really stirring my heart. Well, I'm hoping that this morning is your morning for that to happen. Every now and then in our life, we come to a point of decision. Decisions we have to make. We make them every single day. Some are very, very minor. Some are life-altering, life-changing decisions that we have to make. There is a standard, a gold standard for the Christian. The Apostle Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, that sounds easier than it is actually lived out. Some of those decisions that we make, some of those choices we make, we find ourselves at a crossroad and we're scratching our head, we're seeking God's will, and we'll stand there for a long, long time before we actually get the direction that we want to go in. I usually try to remember the words of that great, great, great philosopher, Yogi Berra. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. That was his motto. That was his mantra. And it's really not that easy for a child of God. If you want to live your life anyway, decisions don't matter to you, then decisions are easy to come by. For someone who is genuinely seeking God's will in their life, who is not only wanting the best for their life, but the best for their family and their friends, and they really genuinely want to point someone to Jesus, making a decision goes much, much deeper than that. On the cover of your bulletin this morning, it's the words of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. None of those words require you to sit still. They are all very active. It involves you doing something, some kind of action on your part. And as I read in Jeremiah, if you'll do those things, if you'll follow after him, you'll reach a point where you'll hear his voice. As always, we're going to get to the book of Genesis here in just a moment. But there's a few verses that I have this morning that I want to go with along with it. If you have your Bibles this morning, open up to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Where we're at in our narrative, chapter 46 of the book of Genesis, the spotlight once again shifts off of Joseph to his father, Jacob. And for just a few moments, Jacob is somewhat at a crossroads in his life. He's weighing out the evidence that his sons have brought back from Egypt that Joseph is still alive. Joseph has a place for them. Joseph has food for them during a time of famine. But Jacob does something along the way that leads me to believe that he was looking for a confirmation from the Lord before he left out of the promised land. Following the Lord is sometimes easy. Whatever you eat, whatever you drink, do all to the glory of God. I want to honor God with my decisions. I want to honor the Lord with my actions, my thoughts, my life. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5, 6. It's a great verse that goes along with your decision-making process. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Well, that's what we want in our life is we want our pathway to be directed. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I want to say that every step that I take, I'm seeking after the Lord. He's guiding my step. And as a newborn Christian, as a believer, as a child of God, you should have the Holy Spirit living inside of your heart, speaking to you, guiding you, and directing you in everything that you do. But to hear God's voice, here's something that we key in on that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Jesus is teaching about himself being the good shepherd. And in these, and I want you to remember these here in just a moment, because when we get into our narrative, something happens to Jacob that reflects this matter here. Jesus, beginning in verse 1, he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Verse 3 is where I really want to start keying in at. "To him the doorkeeper opens," get this, "and the sheep hear his voice." And get this is even better. This is how I know God is a personal God. This is how I know that when God speaks your name, you can only hear him. "And he calls his own sheep by name." Can you say amen to that, the church? "The very hairs of your head are numbered." God knows your heart better than you do. And when he speaks to you, it's not just a random voice. It is a very specific voice. And he calls you by your name. "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these words. We thank you so much for the word that we're about to get into, Lord God, as we look at Jacob, the path that he took, his decision process, Lord God. I pray that we'll be able to apply that to our lives. Lord, if there's anyone here today who has strayed away, Lord God, to anyone here today who has not heard your voice in quite some time, Lord, I pray that this morning you would speak to them loud and clear, that your Holy Spirit would stir something within their heart that would draw them closer to you. And Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, they have never, ever had the opportunity to hear that sweet, sweet voice of yours, I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to them today loudly and clearly, and it would change your life forever. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We now pick up in our narrative of the life of Joseph in Genesis chapter 46. There'll be three specific things we look at that's going on in the life of Jacob particularly. The boys have gone back. They brought all the goods from Egypt that Joseph sent with them. They've given them the word. But is Jacob going to go strictly off of their report that they are bringing? Or does he do something that really gets a confirmation from the Lord? In verse 1, we see this. "So Israel," that is Jacob, "took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba." We're going to get into that in just a minute, because this word Beersheba, this place Beersheba, is very, very, very significant to what's going on here. "He came to Beersheba and he offered sacrifices to the God of his father Isaac." Here's one thing that I want you to know about following the right path that the Lord has for you. Following the right path requires sacrifice. It's not easy. And you can't just go through life haphazardly doing the same old expecting to hear God and let him direct your path. I had a wise old deacon tell me this one time. He said, if you like what you're getting, just keep doing what you're doing. If you want something different, then you've got to step out of your comfort zone and do something different. What kind of sacrifices was it that Jacob was giving? Was Jacob giving a sacrifice to get advice from the Lord? No, absolutely not. What are you willing to sacrifice right now to make certain that the path you are on is the right one? Are you willing to sacrifice a little bit of sleep? Many of the narratives that we looked at, the book of Joshua, we've looked at the life of Jesus, and what did they do? They all got up early in the morning. I know some of you don't like to hear that. But to get a word from the Lord, they sacrificed a little bit of sleep. They showed the Lord, it's important for me to fellowship with you. And it's so important for me to hear your voice that I'm going to sacrifice a little bit of sleep. I'm going to set my alarm clock a little bit early. I tell you what, after a while it becomes a habit. You don't have to set that alarm anymore. You look forward to getting up and spending that time with the Lord. Now I know some people are natural born night owls, and I get that. That's where my wife and I are polar opposites at. I crash on the recliner about 9 or 9:30. She's still going strong. I get up at 4:30, 5 o'clock, and she's out till 7 or 7:30 till I bring her coffee. Some people are just wired differently, but are you willing to give up a little bit of rest, a little bit of sleep? Are you willing to sacrifice that to get a word from the Lord? Are you willing to sacrifice a little bit of food? Maybe this decision is so important that you're willing to do a little bit of fasting to get a word from the Lord. Maybe you've got a hobby that's getting in your way. Maybe you can't hear the voice of the Lord because you are so engrossed in this hobby that you have. Hobbies aren't bad. Don't get me wrong on this. I have hobbies of my own. But when that hobby interferes with your Bible study and your time with the Lord, it then becomes a hindrance to you hearing from the Lord. Or maybe there's a habit in your life. Maybe there's a habitual sin. Maybe there's something you just can't shake, and you know that it is that sin beyond the shadow of a doubt that is keeping you from hearing the voice of the Lord. This sacrifice that Jacob's make is not an effort to gain God's approval on what's going on. I think Jacob has already sought the Lord's will in this matter. I think he's already gotten the green light. He's weighed the evidence. He's used common sense. He's a spiritual man. He's pursued the Lord. I'm certain Jacob probably also expected to die in Canaan as well. This was a land that the Lord had promised to his grandfather Abraham over 200 years ago. Now, with only 70 people moving to Egypt, Jacob must be wondering, why, Lord, why are you moving me from the promised land to Egypt? Here's what I believe. I believe this sacrifice that Jacob makes is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Number one, his family is being saved from certain death due to the famine. Number two, his younger son, Joseph, and his favorite son is still alive. He's thankful for that. And number three, I think most importantly, he is thankful that the Lord is with him. The Lord is guiding his steps. Folks, if you're at a crossroad right now and you're uncertain of the outcome, just start counting your blessings and see what God has done for you. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And when Jacob makes his sacrifice of thanksgiving, watch what happens next. Then God spoke to Israel. In the visions in the night, it said, Jacob, Jacob. Most of us won't to hear God say our name once. What if God were to say your name twice? In essence, he's using his middle name. He's trying to get his attention. He's doubling it up to make emphasis. Very few times and very few people do you see in Scripture where the Lord says their name twice. Moses at the burning bush experience. Moses, Moses, take off your sandals. The place where you're standing is holy ground. Jesus, anytime he said something extremely important to his disciples, what did he say? Verily, verily, I say unto you. It was a double emphasis that they added to make sure that people had their attention focused on what was fixing to be said. Point number two, following the right path only happens when we let God speak. Why did Jacob stop in Beersheba? God spoke his name twice, Jacob, Jacob, and he said, here I am. There's a dialogue going on. Do you have that dialogue with the Lord on a regular basis? So he said, I am the God of your father. Do not fear to go down to Egypt, for I will make of you a great nation there. I will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also surely bring you up again. And Joseph will put his hand on your eyes. Why did Jacob stop in Beersheba? So there are three major routes through the region of Palestine. There's one that is known as the King's Highway. It is on the opposite side of the Jordan River. Major trade routes. One is the Coastal Highway right along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The other one goes right straight up the middle through that land. And this is the place where they are traveling right now. If you will remember at the beginning of our narrative back in chapter 37, verse 14, Jacob sent Joseph from Hebron, this is a place south of Jerusalem, to Shechem to check on his brothers. We know a little bit about Jacob's home and where it was at. He started off in Hebron. He's headed south towards Egypt along this middle trade route. We also know that when Joseph was thrown into the pit by his brothers, there was a caravan from Gilead. Gilead was on the opposite side of the Jordan River, north of the Dead Sea. They had to cross over the Jordan River somewhere around the Jericho region. And they hit this middle pathway in Jerusalem somewhere and started heading south. Along that trade route would be areas of the Shechem and Hebron where Jacob, Joseph, and their families resided. But the further south on the way to Egypt would be a place called Beersheba. What does Beersheba mean? Here's what I believe. So as Jacob has now been convinced by his sons before exiting Canaan and entering Egypt, he passes through Beersheba. And there, God gives Jacob his confirmation. The name Beersheba means this, it is a well of oath or a well of seven. John Logan will know this, the number seven in Hebrew is the word Sheba. Seba is how it's spelled with a S-I. It was a place where Abraham had made an oath with Abimelech back in Genesis chapter 21. And in that oath, he offered seven ewe lambs in that place. It was also a place where Jacob's father Isaac made an oath with Abimelech in Genesis chapter 26. What was Jacob doing? He was simply following the example that was set by his father and his grandfather in a place that was very, very familiar and very, very significant to him. And as Jacob came to this familiar place, he was basically at a crossroads. The main road that they were on was headed north to south, but there was also trade routes coming from the Mediterranean Sea going to other places on the other side of the Jordan River. He had a decision to make, and he wanted a confirmation from the Lord. Why did he want this confirmation from the Lord? Well, let's look at what Jacob has to go off of so far. Here's his sources of advice in this whole matter of packing up his whole family, packing up all of his belongings, and headed to Egypt, leaving the promised land. One source of advice was his sons. This bunch of knotheads, they had been hiding the truth from Jacob for over 30 years now about what they had done to his favorite son, Joseph. You think he could trust their advice? He now knows that they have been lying to him. Why would he believe that Joseph is still alive and that he is there and ready for them based on what he's gotten from his sons? One son in particular, Judah. Judah had had an inappropriate affair with his own daughter-in-law. What about Esau, his older brother? Well, he burned that bridge a long time ago. I can't go to Esau for advice. Jacob couldn't even trust himself. The name Jacob means supplanter or deceiver. He had actually stolen his older brother's birthright many years ago. He can't even trust his own decision-making process. What do you do when your sources of information are unreliable? You can't follow your own heart. It's more deceptive than anything else you know. A lot of people give that advice today. Well, just follow your heart. You'll be all right. No. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. This is why Proverbs 3:5-6, that's why I quoted that. Now, why I quote that so many times to you, that's why that verse is so particularly important. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't trust in your own heart. Take your heart and give it to the Lord and let him direct your paths. Here's something that I want you to know. I'm going to put this quote up on the screen. This is an original. I didn't get this out of a book anywhere. This isn't anything real deep or profound, but this is something that I want you to know. In your own personal decision-making process, no matter how big or how small that decision may seem to you, you better have a place that you call Beersheba in your life. You better have a place where you can get alone with the Lord and you can get a word from the Lord as well. Amen. Do you have that place in your life right now? Do you have somewhere where you can go, where you can retreat to, where you can drown out all the noise of life, all the other voices, everybody that's trying to give you information, where you can get away from social media, where you can get away from the news? The news is corrupt. It tells you only what they want you to hear. Where do you go where you can weigh out the evidence, a place that you call Beersheba, where you stop along the way and say, Lord, I want to make 100% sure that this is what you want me to do. Lord, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm leaving my homeland that you gave to my grandfather hundreds of years ago. This is where I was planning on retiring at. This is where I had my family planted at. This is where all my belongings are. But yet, you're wanting me to relocate down to Egypt. God, if this is what you want me to do, speak to my heart. And he did. He said, Jacob, Jacob. And that was a familiar voice to Jacob. So he began that dialogue with him. As Jacob came to this familiar place, he was basically at a crossroads. He had a decision to make. He had to weigh out the evidence, but he wanted to get a confirmation from the Lord. And God said his name, not just once, but twice. Remember what Jesus said back in John 10? He calls his own sheep by name. He knows what they're going through. He knows what their heart's intent is. And he knows what it's going to take to convince them to go in the direction that he has planned for them. So here's my question to you right now. When's the last time God has spoken your name? When is the last time that you have undeniably heard God say something to you? Do you remember the first time God ever spoke something to you? But here's the main question right now. Is God speaking to you in this moment? What's on your heart right now? What's going through your mind? Are you dwelling on a bad decision that you made years ago? Don't let that mess anything up. The past is the past. It's over. It's done with. God wants to know what you're going to do next. But it's the words that the Lord speaks to Jacob that gives Jacob that confirmation. I am with you. And that's exactly what God wants you to hear as well. He's with you. He promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. We're about to enter into the Christmas season. It's been Christmas at Walmart for 6 months now, it seems like. But here in just a few weeks, probably, you're going to start getting Christmas cards. You're going to see it all over the place. His name is Emmanuel. His very name, Emmanuel, means God with us. Folks, that's the whole reason Jesus left his home in glory, clothed himself in flesh and blood, and came to dwell among sinners like us, to let us know that he is going to be with us no matter what. And in the Great Commission, he gave the marching orders for all Christians. Go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what was his parting words? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Following the right path requires sacrifice. It's not going to come easy. It's not going to just pop into your mind. You've got to pursue it diligently with all your heart. And following the right path only happens when we allow God to speak. The practice of silence is something that we don't get enough of, I'm afraid. When we go into our prayer closet, most times it's request, 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 request. Man, if you look at our prayer guide, it's a full page front and some on back. We want to ask God for, but when is the last time that you actually said, God, I'm not asking you for anything. I just want you to speak to me. I want you to hear. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. Speak my name. That song that Nancy played just a moment ago. Word of God, speak. Would you fall down like rain? Washing my eyes to see. Because he's in this place and he wants to talk to you. And here's the last thing that I want you to see. I'm not going to read through all of these names. You can read this here in just a little. It's a genealogy of all the ones that traveled with him, all the ones that were with Jacob. Verse 5 says, then Jacob arose from Beersheba, and his sons of Israel carried their father Jacob, their little ones and their wives, in the carts which Pharaoh had sent to them. Skip over to verse 26. Here's what I want to conclude with. All the persons who went with Jacob to Egypt, who came from his body, besides Jacob's sons, wives, were 66 persons. We're going to get 70 here in just a minute. So if you add Jacob himself, Joseph, and Joseph's two sons that are already in Egypt, you get 70. And the sons of Joseph who were born to him in Egypt were two persons. All the persons in the house of Jacob who went to Egypt were 70. Remember what the name Beersheba was? The well of seven. Remember how many ewe lambs Abraham sacrificed? He sacrificed seven. And now we have 70 people going down to Egypt. Why are they going to Egypt? Because if we look at Joseph as a parallel to Jesus, Joseph is now their savior. And what is Jacob doing? Jacob is bringing people to the feet of the savior so that they won't die of starvation because of the famine. Point number three, following the right path will point others to the savior. It's going to be a piece of cake. If you are on the right path, if you're seeking the Lord, if you're hearing his voice, if you're making the sacrifices to get a word from the Lord, guess what? Others are going to notice and others are going to see Jesus because of you. The closer you get to Jesus, the closer others around you should get to him as well. Word Jacob got from the Lord, the place he stopped, the sacrifices he made, all of this led to the salvation of 70 people, his whole family. And as we have noted, Joseph is a picture of Jesus through many parallels across this whole narrative, but the picture of a Savior becomes crystal clear right here. And it all begins with Jacob stopping in a place called Beersheba to get a word from the Lord. How about you in your life right now? Would you say that your life is possibly attracting some to ask what's going on? Why do you have all this joy in your life? How can you stand there and sing these songs and these hymns with a smile on your face when the world's falling apart? Because I got God speaking to me each and every day. I've got the Lord's word lighting my path. I got the Lord giving me direction and guiding my every step along the way. I don't have to worry about what the outcome is because he's already got it worked out. I don't have to worry about all the details because he's got it all figured out. I don't have to worry about where I'm going to spend eternity because he's got that matter worked out as well. Amen. And I hope you can say the same thing in your life as well. Every head bowed and every eye closed. At the bottom of your outline is a quote from Charles Stanley. We looked at this book several years ago, I believe. God desires to fellowship with us just as much as he fellowshipped with the people in the Old and New Testament. And if our relationship with him is a one-way trip, and there is no communication or dialogue, then there isn't much fellowship. I want to speak to the Christians in the audience, first of all, for just a moment. How seriously are you taking your walk with the Lord? How many of those spiritual disciplines are you putting into practice day by day? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus? Being a follower means that you are desiring to become more and more like him each and every day. Are you a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? That word disciple is all based off of the word discipline. Are you disciplined in the spiritual exercises? Prayer, meditation, solitude, Bible study. If you're a child of God, you should be hearing his voice clearly, loudly, and regularly. But maybe you've lost your first love. Maybe you're pursuing after some other agenda in your life right now. And somehow or another, your relationship with the Lord has taken a toll. This morning, I want to challenge you. The altars are open right now. You don't have to wait till the music starts. If God's speaking to you, you get up and move right now. But this morning, I want to challenge you. Go back to your first love. Sunday school teacher, studying your Sunday school lesson doesn't count as personal Bible study. I have to segregate my sermon prep from my own personal study. A lot of time I get something personally out of the sermon prep, but those are two totally different things. Is God really speaking to you on a regular basis? Are you getting nourishment from his word? Or have you lost your first love? The altars are open for you right now. The next group of people I want to talk to right now are those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And the only question I have for you right now is why not? What are you waiting on? Why would you put it off any longer? We're not guaranteed another day. The book of James says that life is but a mere vapor. It appears and then almost instantly vanishes away. Compared to all eternity, your life is just a little bitty minor speck in time. I don't know how long you'll live. Jacob was over 100 years old before he passed away. People die of a young age each and every day. We're not guaranteed another breath. We're not guaranteed another beat of our heart. I'm not trying to scare you or persuade you into making a salvation decision. I'm just stating a fact. Today could be your very last day here on this earth. Why would you put off your eternal destination any longer? Maybe you're hearing you say, Brother Tracy, I don't know what the gospel is. I don't know what it means to be saved. I don't know how to have my sins washed away. Friend, it's as simple as A, B, C. First thing you need to do is admit that you have a sin problem. You can't have a Savior until you realize you need a Savior. The awareness of sin in your life makes the gospel so much better. The Bible tells us clearly that our hearts are desperately wicked. All we are like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is but filthy rags before a just and holy God. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have been infected with sin. And that sin comes with a penalty. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. What you earned is eternity in hell because of your sin nature. But that's exactly why Jesus came to this earth. Because there's nothing we can do on our own about our sin. He died. He became our propitiation, our substitutionary atonement. And he paid the debt for the penalty of our sin with his own shed blood. When John the Baptist saw him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." First, you need to be aware of the sin problem in your life. Second, you need to be aware that Jesus is the only solution to that sin. Third thing you need to do is understand that all you have to do is ask him to save you. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What is the gospel? In a nutshell, the gospel is the death, burial, resurrection, and the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, he's coming soon. Whether you live to be 10 years old or 110 years old, Jesus could come back at any moment as well. That's not another scare tactic. That's another fact. The Bible says, for Christians, those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Have you made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you know for sure right now where you will spend eternity at? And if you don't, I beg you, don't put it off any longer. If I can make the decision for you, I would, but I can't. It has to be a personal decision. And you can make that decision in just a moment. You just say a simple prayer like this: "God, I know I've sinned. I know that my sin is not pleasing to you. I know that my sin has earned me an eternity in hell, and I don't want that. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sins, and then he rose up 3 days later. And that's the Jesus that I want to give my life to. Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins, make me a new person, and help me to follow you all the days of my life." My friend, if you just pray that prayer, let me just say congratulations. God wants to do something with your life. The next thing I need you to do is, if you did pray that prayer, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or look at me or anything like this. Here's how I want to know. I'm going to ask you to get out of that pew and walk down this aisle in just a moment. Take me by the hand and say, "Brother Tracy, I just prayed that prayer, and I want to know how I can continue to follow Jesus with my life." And we want to celebrate with you. That's all we want to do. Nobody's going to make fun of you. The cameras are off. This isn't on live stream or anything like that. This is a very private moment. So I'm going to pray. We're going to stand. We're going to sing our closing hymn. And that'll be your cue. Whatever decision that you need to make, just come do business with the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the words that we've heard. We thank you, Lord God, that you still speak to us. And Lord, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that right now you're speaking to someone's heart in this audience today. Lord, give them the boldness to respond to whatever it is you're asking them to do. I pray, Lord God, that we'll be able to rejoice with them and help them to grow as a new believer. And Lord, if there's someone here that's already a Christian and they know that they're not walking in the right direction, I pray, Lord God, that you'll speak to their heart as well. And we just ask these things in the most precious and holy name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.